And we are continuing this week with our Christmas presents here in front of us. I put the mirror over there. Last week we opened a mirror and we held it up to everybody so that you could see your family. You could see your Christian brothers and sisters. So let's see what we're going to unwrap this morning. I don't know, Reeds, would you be willing to unwrap this for us? Can you unwrap this one? Thank you. We'll see what's in the box and what they can hold up for us. Open it up. Yeah. We got something from Amazon. What is that? Yeah, technically it's a wall hanging. Yeah, but yeah, thank you. Yeah, and the representative of peace. What is the gift from Jesus that we are receiving this morning? Peace. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The gift of peace. And if so many Christians have already opened this present, Why is the world the way it is? I scrolled through the online news. I think Thursday morning I was working on this. Let's just see how peaceful the world was at that moment. And I found this very interesting image. Here's a young woman who's flashing the peace sign while there's a fire burning in front of her. It's from Iran. And the headline said, "Reports claimed Iran's morality police disbanded. The truth is more complicated." So you can imagine all that was going on with the conduct in the streets and what women have to wear, etc. Then I flipped through to the health section of the newspaper, saw this headline. Russia's war renews fears of nuclear disaster. Here's what to know about radiation from a health. And I have to be honest, initially I thought, well, that's kind of a cute graphic. And I went, oh, you know, look at the subject matter, the severity of the topic there of nuclear radiation and how to deal with it. And then there were multiple news sources. Wednesday night it was CBS News. Thursday morning, this is Ingrid Jack from USA Today. This is her account. Last week, the Metzger, not related, the Metzger Bar and Butchery in Richmond, Virginia, canceled a reservation for the nonprofit Family Foundation just an hour and a half before their scheduled dessert reception with their supporters. Why? Well, employees at the restaurant had looked up the group online and decided not to serve this group because of their advocacy for biblical principles, including traditional views on marriage and protection of unborn lives. Said the restaurant's staff felt, quote, uncomfortable and unsafe by the prospect of having these Christians, who weren't there to cause a scene or be disrespectful. They just wanted to discuss their organizational goals. Didn't want to have them in the establishment. Restaurant had a post, Instagram. Said, "We pride ourselves on being an inclusive environment. Many of our staff are women and or members of the LGBTQ+ community. All of our staff are people with rights who deserve dignity and a safe work environment. We respect our staff's established rights as humans and strive to create a work environment where they can do their jobs with dignity, comfort, and safety." Which then prompted Ingrid, opinion contributor, to note, apparently that same dignity and comfort are not afforded to those with the, quote, wrong politics or beliefs. Now, I could go on from the headlines of Thursday. We could really get people's blood boiling. that we do have a wireless microphone. I could just have Wayne just hand that around. We could just pass it around the room and stories of violence and venom and things would just erupt. Peace. Seems like our world is rather far away from the prophecy that Mark just read. Isaiah 9:6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, to be fair, peace has often been elusive, hard to hold on to. Will and Ariel Durant, in their Lessons of History, have calculated there have been approximately 268 scattered years where the world was at peace over the past 3,421 years. 7.8% of the time, if you want to do the math, we've had peace. Peace was a very hot commodity in New Testament writings. The letters at the end of the Old Testament. Paul, Peter, John, and Jude together opened 17 different letters in the New Testament with a blessing of grace and peace. That's what they long for. A single peace point for the early church may have been found in Acts 9:31. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. What happened? Why'd they get that little respite? It's essentially, in a nutshell, the guys who were persecuting the church, the Jewish leaders, the Sauls of the day, Saul who became Paul, they all of a sudden had bigger fish to fry, is what happened there. Josephus tells us in 39 or 40 AD, the emperor, Caligula, ordered all the governors, locally Petronius, I want you to create a statue of the emperor and put it in the temple of Jerusalem and tell the people worship or else. Well, as you know, the Jewish leader said, we can't have anything to do with that blatant idolatry. So they turned their efforts to that front until 41 AD when Caligula was assassinated, and then that bigger fish swam away. So they turned the guns back on the Christians and said, time to persecute the church. We've been studying Hebrews on Wednesday night. We just went through chapter 11, the roll call of the faithful. And it's all these faithful people who are filled internally with the peace of God, and their external circumstances are anything but. They are flogged, put to death by the sword, sawed in two. You could literally just spin the wheel of history and see where it lands between first century and 21st century. And you would find that peace is elusive. And I just put it right in the middle just to check. I thought, well, the 11th century, right? Seems to be, what'd we get? So I just open up to the 11th century. You'll have the Vikings raiding in Europe, not my favorite Vikings, but the other Vikings. The Battle of Hastings took place in the 11th century. I read of brothers who were killing each other in an effort to take over the throne of Kievan Rus, which is the precursor to what's Russia now. That was like the secular people. Of course, the church people, they are totally at peace. The Great East-West Schism of 1054, where the Eastern Orthodox Church and the Roman Catholic Church split. That took place in the 11th century. The First Crusade was launched by Christians seeking to control the Holy Land, and that part of the world's still at odds. If you go through this historical journey, here's where your neighbor, your coworker, somebody leans over and they look at your little wall decor and they say, yeah, you're a peace present. I'm not seeing it. So we have to be sure to remind folks, our Christmas present is not the beauty pageant answer. Okay? If you're familiar with that, where I got that, why I said the beauty pageant answer is from a scene in the movie where the girls are being interviewed and the candidates, and here's their answer.
Have to say world peace. Definitely world peace.
That's easy.
World peace. World peace.
What is the one most important thing our society needs?
That would be harsher punishment for a parole violator, Stan. And world peace.
Hey, listen to the crowd. That's they're waiting for the stock answer. Oh, world peace. You can hear the crickets before, and then everybody erupts. Yeah, that's what. And that's part of the reason that more people don't value this gift. Non-believers need to understand Jesus is talking about internal peace. And when he says, you know, the peace I leave, I don't give you as the world gives. In a nutshell, this is internal. We don't really hang it on the wall. And no, the peace of Christ does not always keep his children out of harm's way. The simplest illustration we get, if you found a man or woman who is serving in any country's armed forces, if he or she has the internal peace of Christ, which would enable him or her to be at peace, even in a foxhole on the front lines. How is that possible? Because it's internal. It's a gift. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And the verse that we have there, John 14, the context of John 14, who is Jesus speaking to? And if you back up, it is Judas. Not Judas Iscariot, the other Judas. In other lists, his name is probably Thaddeus. But Thaddeus has asked a question of Jesus in verse 22. Why don't you just show yourself to the world? Why aren't you just taking over the world? You're showing us. Show the world. And it made me think, I read this as, I saw that our local zoo has an interesting attraction. A lion and a sheep living peacefully in the same cage. And I asked the zookeeper, do they ever fight? Rarely. What do you do when that happens? We get another sheep. Jesus is saying, yeah, Thaddeus, that's a really good question. What this looks like doesn't make sense to the world. You know, what this is about to look like, because he knows the crosses, what is about to happen is not going to immediately look like victory in the world's eyes. It's going to be a great failure. But you wait. In God's time, victory in God's eyes. The word, you may be familiar in Hebrew, is shalom. And it means more than just a lack of active warfare. It means a personal well-being characterized by a right and a blessed relationship with God. Jesus does not end all human wars. He has made it possible to end the war between man and God. His peace. His reconciliation. It's from his death. You know, that's how believers can say, I'm not troubled. I'm not afraid. Romans 5 restores my equilibrium with God. 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And if you have the NIV there and you scroll up to the heading, it's going to say, peace and joy. This is how you find it. So you can go to Jesus and say, Jesus, are you going to fix our war with Rome or Russia? No. But I will fix your war with God. In the end, you'll be better off. So then the believers, on the other hand, we have to understand, as great as this gift is, people still have to choose it. They have to use it. They have to apply it. You don't have to answer out loud, but if you're going to give somebody gift cards for Christmas, I like them, I think, you gotta buy it. It costs you something, right? You gotta pay for that. And yet, there's a potential they would never use it. You give someone something that costs and they don't, same potential here. Cause if more people were like me, right? If most people were like me, they believe like I do. If they work like I do, if they had the same priorities I do, the world would be peaceful. But Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That's a pretty big group right there. Everyone, you know, I gotta be mindful of not coming across like certain athletes that were just mentioned, you know. How many people in the everyone group make peace a little tough for you? I'd never thought about this as while elaborating on loving one's neighbor, apologist Michael Ramsden spoke of a colleague. The man was in Asia and he asked his audience to close their eyes and imagine peace. After a few seconds, he invited him. Okay, describe your mental picture. What does peace look like? One said, it's a field with flowers and beautiful trees. Second said, snow-capped mountains and an incredible alpine landscape. Third, my scene is a beautiful, still lake. And around the room they went, and after everyone had described their scene of peace, he said, what's the one common denominator in all of those? There were no people in any of them. And Ramson said, isn't that interesting? When asked to imagine peace, the first thing we do is eliminate everybody else. I'm pretty sure alpine isolation is not going to be your week this week. You know, but Linus. And you can be fair, you can be honest, you can be objective, you can be accurate in your evaluation. You could say, look, I have tried, but there is not peace between us at the moment. If everyone on the planet was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, if we were all guarded by God's presence and Spirit, you know, then peace with everyone would be possible. Now, I have just described heaven. That's what we're, you know, that's where we're moving toward. Well, as it is, not everybody you meet is completely filled with God's Spirit, ourselves included. And some people are pretty full of their own spirit. And some people actually are probably filled to some degree with the devil's spirit. It is not going to be a world of peace. Had you tuned into a particular late night comedy talk show in August of 2019, you would have heard the personality step on stage and speak these words into the camera. And now some funeral news to report. Yesterday, David Koch of the zillionaire Koch brothers died of prostate cancer. I guess I'm going to have to reevaluate my low opinion of prostate cancer. Condolences poured in from all the politicians he owned. Mourners have been asked, in lieu of flowers, to just leave their car engine running. As for his remains, he's been asked to be cremated and have his ashes blown into a child's lungs. Now, he says, I know these may seem like harsh words and harsh jokes, stuff I won't even repeat to you. He finished with this, I'm glad he's dead, and I hope the end was painful. Yeah, there are people in the world who will say out loud what other people might be thinking. And add to that, some of them, restaurant owners and others, once they realize that you're on what they deem to be God's side, or you're in God's army, they not only do they no longer want anything to do with you, they're going to actively work to make your life less peaceful. So what can I do? If I want people to be able to open this gift and appreciate and enjoy this gift of peace, what can I do? And the first for me is I have to live like I trust my bodyguard. That is first and foremost for me. I have to live like I trust the bodyguard that I have. And first, let's get on an airplane first. It says, my friend Marge had an experience on a plane that is bound for Cleveland. Waiting for takeoff, she settles into her seat. She notices a strange phenomenon. You may have seen this. On the one side of the plane, there's a brilliant sunset suffusing the sky with glorious color. Looks out the other side of the plane, nothing but dark, ominous clouds, no sunshine. Plane's engines begin to come to life. She hears a gentle voice, capital V, within her. You have noticed the windows. Your life, too, will contain some happy times, but also some dark shadows. Here's a lesson I want to teach you to save you heartache, so that you can abide in me with continued peace and joy. You see, it doesn't matter which window you look through. This plane is still going to Cleveland. So is your life. You have a choice. You can dwell on the gloomy picture, or you can focus on the bright side and leave the dark, ominous to me. I'm the only one who can handle those anyway. The final destination is not influenced by what you see and hear along the way. Do I live with that belief? Do I trust my pilot or the bodyguard? I got the bodyguard imagery from a familiar passage in Philippians 4. Paul writing Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. And we spend a lot of time talking about what it means to be passes understanding, transcends. That's what we've just tried to explain. You know, it's not like the world thinks. It's internal. I know God's flying the plane. So I have peace. The word I wanted to key on this morning is guard, phroreo. It's a military term. Soldiers standing right there, a garrison that is placed in a city. Peter uses the same word, 1 Peter 1:5, who through faith are shielded, guarded, by God's power until the coming of the salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. I think of that soldier who was bragging about he rescued Paul. He saved Paul. He's guarding him. And I knew it was in Acts. And actually, you can pick any of three, Acts 21 or 22 or chapter 23. There's three different guards who all do the same thing. They are protecting Paul. The one I was thinking about was Claudius Lysias, Acts 23:27. This man was seized by the Jews, and they're about to kill him. But I came with my troops and rescued him, for I learned that he is a Roman citizen. That's the guarding. That's the same manner that God guards us. We have the peace of God. Peace of God, I hope I can emphasize of. It's not peace from God, like God just kind of tossed it at you, like, here's a little bit for you, I got to go over here and work on this. Peace of God, like he is right there. Peace, however you want to spell that. I have a peace of God right here guarding me, standing guard over my heart and my mind 24/7. It says anxiety is denied admittance to a heart and mind so guarded. That's why it transcends understanding. The Philippians, Paul says, the persecution is a real thing. And people would expect you guys to be anxious about that. But the response from a guarded heart is different. I know there's a lot that surrounds us that should produce anxiety. But God is guarding me, my heart, my mind. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. Be thankful. I got to trust that my bodyguard is right here protecting me, watching over me. And if I can do that, then the other thing I can do is start in my own little corner of the world. I'm just going to try to radiate peace right here as best I can. Romans 14:19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace. And to mutual edification. I'd say again, I know it's a big, cruel world. There's a lot of angry people. But I got a big bodyguard. And so do you. If I can live at peace on Granville Street, and you can live at peace in whatever your address is, together. And what I envision, it's a video. I didn't give you the whole video scene because you may not know where it's coming from, but I'll describe it for you. In this first image, here I am in my little ship. I'm that little star-shaped ship flying, and you can see the enemy there. Pretty big deal, right? It's kind of bad odds, right? But then you guys come flying in your little ships, and you can see where we're all starting to come a little closer together. Here I am, there you are. And then we all connect, and I'm trying to just radiate peace right here where I am. And it lights up, and then you're radiating peace where you are, and then finally, if we get enough of us, then this whole barrier starts to form, against what's going on in the world. And I really think some of the modern anxiety builds from we think we got to take that whole thing on by ourselves. You know, I am responsible for everything that's going on, everything I see, everything I hear online. I got to fix it. No, I'm responsible for my part. Here I am, right here, my corner of the world. What do I have control of in my own life? What do you have control of in your own? And then together, we connect the peace. Hopefully you're trying to spread peace. Christmas, it's a good time to make an effort. Probably should start with our own family. Right? Probably should have had this for Thanksgiving because the same conversation applies. Dave Ramsey said, you want to have peace conversations at Christmas? Don't talk about money. You know, and he gave five specific conversations. You want to maintain the peace? Don't talk about your big purchase. Good for you if you got a big fancy car or you're going on, he actually said, a trip to Alaska. And he said, you don't have to apologize for it, but don't throw it in their face. If somebody wants to know the ins and the outs, they'll ask and you can tell them later. Money troubles. Again, Dave Ramsey saying, without fail, your little brother will always find a way to complain about his low-paying job, his overdue credit cards, and his expensive divorce. So before his whining starts, short circuit is, you know, take him down another road. Head him off with an act of kindness. Offer to give his resume to some friends. Say, we'll pay for you to go through financial counseling. Personal loans. Again, he says, your crazy Aunt Beth shamelessly asks you for a loan every year. Forget that she still owes you for her cat's emergency surgery in the summer. Family loans are a bad idea. If you can give them the money, that's it. If you can give the money and not give it as a gift. If you've already did the loan thing, maybe you say, I'm going to forgive that one and tell them I'm out of the banking business. Four, business opportunities. Again, he says, everybody has a shady cousin Phil. You know, he says, I know a guy who knows a guy, and there's a startup, and all we need from you is $5,000. Okay. He says, there's not usually a lot of reasoning with cousin Phil. Change the subject. What else does Phil like to talk about? Cars? Football? Bass fishing? You know, and then the last one is unsolicited advice. He said, we know you're excited about getting out of debt. The quickest way to turn somebody off to financial advice is to beat them over the head with it. If you've been living and spending differently, your family will notice. And when they get sick and tired of being broke, then they'll ask you for a suggestion. Maybe for your family, it's not finances. Maybe it's politics. We're not going to go there. Maybe it's sports. Let's not talk about it. You know, whatever the hot button is, I steer away from that. You know, how can I accommodate peace at home? How can I be a peacemaker at work? How can I be a peacemaker at school? This is a story about the school. It was funny. A man retires and he buys a house and he enjoys it all summer. Now the house is near a high school. He didn't factor this in, but when school starts back up and the kids start coming down home from school, they beat on every trash can. Bam, 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 all the way down. And they do it every day. And finally, he's like, ugh. So he goes out one afternoon. He says, hey, boys. They're banging their way down the street. Hey, you guys, that looks like a lot of fun. You guys remind me of myself. When I was your age, I did the same thing. Tell you what, I'm going to pay you all $1 a day. You keep it up. I like to hear it. They were more than happy. You know, he let him go about a week, and he came out with a sad look on his face. He says, hey, boys, he goes, finances are a little tight. I got to back you off to 50 cents, but keep doing what you're doing. And they're like, oh, okay, whatever. He let him go a few more days. He says, fellas, I hate to do this, but recession's hit me hard. I'm going to have to take you down to a quarter. He said, the leader blew up. That's it? You think we're going to waste our time banging the bins for 25 cents? You're a fool. No way that's going to happen. We quit. Says the man enjoyed peace and serenity for the rest of his days. You know? And I thought, man, a little bit, that's maybe how you do with the world. You know, you blame somebody going, what's in it for me? You know, how I can get what? But I like what he had to invest. Right? He had put in a little time, worked on a relationship, did actually cost a little bit of money. You know, I might have to figure out at work or at school who needs what. You know, as far as the culture wars, how do I spread peace there? I very simple. Prayer is key, and I'll make it even simpler. Do you know who your own personal elected officials are on all the levels? Whether you voted for them or not, or like them or not, do you know who they are? And are you praying for them? That's a start. You know. Peace does exist. The peace of God may well transcend someone's understanding. Somebody may look at you and they just do not understand how you can be at peace in a world so at war. But we can't shirk the responsibility of at least demonstrating that it's possible. Praise the Lord for the indwelling gift of His Holy Spirit, which grants us peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that You are able. We know that Your peace is real. We know that it can overcome, withstand, diffuse anything that comes our way today or tomorrow. It is difficult. We are not perfect. We have contributed to others not enjoying Your peace. We have to try to interact with people who don't at this moment want anything to do with Your peace. And we pray that we can continue to just be the very best example we possibly can. Father, may we just go away reminded that You do guard and shield us every day. Nothing will come our way that You are not able to handle. Thank You for Jesus. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.